Brother Ken, it is a delight to interview you. I suspect that you also find that you see the irony in me having been in that seminar that you taught nearly a decade ago, and here I am pastoring just down the road from you a bit.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be interviewed and to discuss these questions and talk with you. I do see the irony in that I'm glad you're pastoring in Missouri and enjoying your first pastorate. You mentioned the seminar that I taught back in 2005. I enjoyed that seminar. I enjoyed the men who were in that seminar and their interest in that topic. It was a delightful time, and it's good to have this time with you today.
Well, as we get started, I think probably maybe an obvious question is, what's changed? What's changed? Again, that seminar was in 04, 05, around in that time frame. So we're here 10 years later. And I kind of wonder if you could go back today and if you were speaking to pastors who were young guys in training to be in the ministry, what would you tell them differently than what you did then? Maybe just it's a matter of emphasis, something that maybe you would emphasize more today that received less emphasis in the past. What do you think that would be?
Well, in that seminar, I shared a lot of just personal experiences. I had been in the pastorate for 5 years, and so I was just transitioning in my first church. And so in that seminar, I addressed some of the personal experiences that I had. And so the content was somewhat limited based on that. I think it's important to realize what hasn't changed, and that's the calling. The calling of a man to preach and to pastor. And you'll recall in that seminar, we spent a lengthy time talking about the importance of that call. And so I would stress of what hasn't changed, and that's one of the things that hasn't changed. That I think is worth acknowledging and bears repeating. Some of the things that have changed, I think, in my experience, would be some of the other leadership vacancies in the church. When a church goes through pastoral transition, there may be additional leadership vacancies in the church. And that could be for various reasons. It could be health-related issues. It could be burnout from church members. But to expect, or at least to realize, that there could be additional leadership vacancies in the church. I would also encourage people and young men to realize that there's a culture to that church, and to seek to understand and discern that culture. I believe we discussed that issue in that seminar, but I really think that's important for both the pastor and the church to have that same understanding of what the culture of that church is.
Do you think that along those lines, do you think that sometimes guys go in and they have this big vision that they're ready to sell, but they haven't done, as you've indicated, the hard work of observing and understanding the culture? Do you think, is that a common problem that you see?
Oh, I think a lot of guys do struggle with that, and it takes some discernment. It takes wisdom on the part of the pastor to identify those issues and to be patient in working through those issues. That pastor is going into a context that the congregation has been in for a while. They may be eager for some change, but I think the pastor needs to have wisdom and discernment to identify the culture of that church and what really needs to happen going forward.
As you think about ministry in general, I think this question would apply to people who are new into the ministry and even guys who've been in it a while. The importance of balance. You and I have discussed this on other occasions, and when I think about the subject, you do come to mind because you're a person who you have a family, a wife, a children, you pastor a relatively large congregation. You've pretty well been in state leadership here in Missouri, I think probably most of your time in the state, at least the majority of it. You're on one of our national boards. How do you, on those weeks where things just kind of get out of hand, how do you, to use a worn cliche, how do you keep things between the ditches?
Well, it's a challenge that all pastors face. We need periodic checks to ensure that we're working towards a balanced approach to ministry. One of the practical things that I try to do is itemize daily tasks, schedule out those tasks, and set some deadlines. And I find that I am motivated when I'm able to complete a task and check it off my list. Secondly, I listen to my wife. I appreciate her unwavering support of my ministry. And she lets me know whenever I am out of balance with my time and especially with family priorities. I also appreciate other people in the church, especially deacons and lay leaders that I have given permission to speak truth into my life when I might be out of balance in terms of the ministry. I think that's important to do. It takes trust. It takes being willing to receive that truth from a lay leader that is trustworthy. And I also try to schedule intentional times with my family. Friday night is family night in the Simpson household. My family loves to spend time together. We usually go out to a restaurant and enjoy a meal together and have some type of a family fun activity, maybe in the home playing a game. But it's important to schedule those times for the family to be together.
Do you think it's the ministry, do you think it's grown more complex? I mean, I suspect that in earlier generations, there was still a temptation for things to get out of hand, to have too much on the plate. But it does seem like there's a different taste of things now than maybe there once was. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's very fast paced. I think a lot of pastors struggle with fatigue in ministry. Maybe not to the point of burnout to where they are disconnecting altogether from ministry. But I think a lot of pastors struggle with just mental fatigue, dealing with the heaviness of problems and the complexity of ministering today in the 21st century. I think it's also important as a pastor is balancing all the responsibilities that he has in the local church along with other organizations that he may volunteer time or boards and committees. I think it's important to remember that the church you pastor deserves your primary focus and energy. I appreciate the opportunity to be involved in state ministry and national ministries. That's important, and that's an extension of our ministry here in the pastorate. But we need to keep in mind the primary focus should be that local church and the calling of God to preach the gospel and to shepherd God's flock.
If I may, just to follow up on something that we alluded to a moment ago, do you think there are distinct differences between simply transitioning to the first year of the pastorate for, say, a younger gentleman versus someone who's been in ministry a while, but then they go to a new ministry, a new church? What kind of issues are involved with that kind of transition? It's certainly not the same as the guy who's going out for the first time, whether as an assistant minister or, you know, a senior pastor. But how does it look different, you think, for someone who's simply transitioning to a new role, even if they've already been in ministry a while?
Well, there is a difference. I think he comes into a second or third pastorate with more wisdom, certainly more experience, a better understanding of people and their spiritual needs. Going into your first pastorate, there are a lot of things that you're going to learn. There's a lot of things you're just going to experience with trial and error and with failure. And certainly going into a second or third pastorate, there are still going to be challenges and there's going to be failures and issues to work through. But you do bring some experience, you bring knowledge to the table. And oftentimes those second or third pastorates may be churches that have a particular issue that that pastor may be really gifted in, that he can lead the church through that transition and address some of the concerns and the challenges that that church is presently dealing with.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a danger with assuming that since you do have the experience and the wisdom that there's just an immediate carryover to the new ministry context, like perhaps this experienced pastor can fail to play that observational role in that time of transition? Do you think that's a danger?
Oh, it certainly is, especially for a strong visionary leader who comes in and has a vision for that church. I think it needs to be tempered with where the church is, the culture of that church, and understanding exactly where that church is. I think that's vital. So there's always that period, in my opinion, of identifying that church, the church culture, and then matching up your giftedness with what the church needs. And being patient for and allowing time for the church to understand who you are, what your vision is. It takes a while to articulate that vision, to identify that vision, and then articulate that vision.
Hmm. Sounds like just so far here that you've mentioned patience several times. Maybe that is the lost virtue in pastoral ministry. I wonder if our, as you said before, our fast-paced society makes that a less plausible virtue to try to seek after.
Well, and I think one of the dynamics is that pastor is eager for this new ministry. And that church may very well be really eager for that new pastor to come in. And so you're building off the momentum that has been created with that transition, and it's exciting. And so you've got this fresh vision. But I think that has to be tempered with a correct understanding of what is best for the church and the health of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes some time for the people to buy in to that vision. And the wise pastor, I think, is patient in mm-hmm. allowing the church to understand his style, his philosophy of ministry, and really allow the two to mesh together.